to the to Christianity and to baptize him. It's a privilege, and here I am to serve the Lord. Today's sermon is from the Acts of the Apostles. Please turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. If you don't have a Bible, there are some Bibles where Stephen is sitting. Acts chapter 8, from verses 26 to 40. I'm going to read the passage, then pray, and then go on to the sermon. Acts chapter 8, from verse 26. The passage is entitled, Philip and the Ethiopian. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candace, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is a passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Let's pray. God, our Father, it is your word that's going to be preached, not mine, Lord. And as I'm praying, Lord, let my voice be silenced and use me just as a vessel to give your word to your people. And for your people this morning, I pray for them that they should not be listeners who forget what they have listened from you. I pray for hearts who will receive the seed of your word, and I pray that that word will grow and bring them closer and nearer to you. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. The title of the sermon is one of the verses that taken from the passage we read. The title is, look, here is water, what can stand in the way of my being baptized? I'm going to say something about the context of the time when that happened. And then I'm going to go verse by verse to say something about the conversation between Philip and the eunuch. And in the end, I will say something about baptism and how the Bible defined baptism and what is baptism, in which cases are we to baptize or not. So the Bible says here in Acts chapter 8, in the early verses, that Philip was in Samaria. And It was a time of persecution for the early church. It was one of the first persecutions of the church after Stephen was stoned. The Bible says that the church was scattered because the persecution was so high. So it were only the apostles that were remaining in Jerusalem. All the other disciples, all the other people who have believed, they were scattered. They were scattered in Samaria, they were scattered in Judea because of the persecution. In chapter 8, verse 1, the Bible says, on that day, that is the day when Stephen was stoned, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. So the persecution of the early church started right on when the apostles began to teach after Pentecost. After Pentecost, when they received the Holy Spirit, they were able to preach the word of God with boldness, without fear. And that was the first level of persecution where Peter were taken in front of the priest, in front of the Sanhedrin. But the highest level, or the persecution reached a higher level when Stephen was stoned. And that led to the dispersion, that led to the believers left Jerusalem. But instead of this persecution stopping the gospel or stopping the church of growing, it should be seen as a mean for the gospel to reach other people. Or that persecution can be seen as the fulfillment of what Jesus promised the disciples in Acts 1, chapter 8, before ascension. And Jesus told them, before the Holy Spirit came, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So the persecution opened the door for the gospel to reach other regions which had not yet heard the good news of God. So it was in that context that Philip went to Samaria. Then, led by God, he went to the desert place where he met the Ethiopian eunuch. So the church was in persecution, but still, they kept preaching, they kept sharing, they kept spreading the good news of the gospel. That means to us, if we have to learn from the early church, that there is no excuse for us not to spread the gospel. If people who are stoned to death are able to continue to share the gospel, which excuse do you have and me to not spread the good news? We are to fulfill the commandment of Jesus given in the Great Commission, that we go to spread the good news, independently of what is going to happen. Our task is to preach the gospel, and God will do the rest for us. He will protect us. He will give us the necessary wisdom. He will give us the boldness to stand for the truth. And now let's see how Philip and the eunuch had the conversation. And the first question when I was reading the passage is I asked myself, how did Philip meet the eunuch? We read in verse 26 that an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go to the place near the desert. And it was an angel that told him to go there. Not that it was an angel that was the commander, but an angel was just a messenger from God. It was God himself who led Philip to go and preach the gospel in the right place. And it is God, it is the Holy Spirit, who leads us on where to go and where to go and preach the gospel. Even though Philip was a convicted believer, he knew the truth about Jesus. But it was an angel who sent him. He didn't go by himself. He didn't decide by himself where to go. He didn't decide by himself when to do that. He received the direction, the guidance from God. It wasn't his personal decision. God led him. Sometimes we forget that we need guidance, even for things which seem to be obvious. Because preaching the gospel can be obvious. It's not wrong to preach when you don't hear the voice of God before you do that. But in that very case, the success of our gospel also depends on how and when we do it. And we see that Philip listened to an angel, and he went to the place where God sent him, and His gospel sharing was successful. And if you want to preach the gospel to your colleagues, you don't know where to start, and ask God for guidance. Or maybe you have been praying for someone, you are talking to a friend, and maybe you have already used all the means you have to preach the gospel to someone, and it is not working. Ask God for guidance. So Philip was guided by God to the place where he met the eunuch. So the angel of the Lord told him where to go, and Philip went there. He went there and he didn't start doing something. He waited for the next guidance from God of what to do. God told him where to do, and it was also God who told him what to do. And we read in verse 29 that the Spirit told Philip what to do. The Spirit said to Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." I mean, it is obvious and easy for us when angels talk to us, because most of the time we can see them. Most of the time we can recognize them, not all the time. But the Bible says that the Spirit said to Philip. How was Philip able to know that that was the Spirit of God? And how are we to know that it is God talking? We are fighting every day. It is a great challenge for each of us to know or to distinguish the voice of God among thousands of voices. We have the voice of the devil telling us, and we have the voice of our flesh. We have the voice of God. But how was Philip able to know that? Philip was able to distinguish the voice of God because he knew God. He was a believer, and he knew who God was. It's just like when we are sitting here, there are many children here. If my son starts calling me, because I know him, because I am so close to him, I will be able to distinguish whose voice is calling me. And if you are not close to God, if your relationship in God is not that so close, you won't be able to distinguish the voice of God among thousands of voices. And even sometimes you will even do things thinking or believing that they are from God, whereas you have been led by your flesh or by somebody else's voice. So Philip obeyed both to God's message through the angel and the Holy Spirit. He was not on a journey of tourism. It was God who sent him. He had a mission, even though he didn't know what his mission was. Because sometimes we just ask God to have everything before we start entering into ministry. We want God to show us how it's going to look like before we go. One of the places of the Bible that challenges me is the story of Abraham. That God told him that move to the land, I will show you. He started moving, not knowing how tomorrow would look like. He started moving, not knowing whether he will spend the night in the place he was on that day. But he was moving. And in his movement, he kept on listening to God till he arrived in the land that God promised him. And Philip went to the desert place without asking himself, a desert place? There are no people living there. There are no men living in the desert. But he went there because it was from God. And even though he didn't know the Ethiopian eunuch, he listened to the voice of the Spirit who told him, go near that chariot. And Philip did things according to what God told him to do. So he obeyed because he knew God. He was familiar to the Holy Spirit. And if you do not know God, if you do not have the Holy Spirit, it will be difficult or maybe impossible to you to distinguish when God is sending you to do something. And I could also ask you this morning, based on verses 30 and 31, the Ethiopian eunuch was asking a genuine question. He was reading a passage, and Philip went on asking him, do you understand what you are reading? Do you here sitting this morning understand the Bible when you read it? If you don't, do like the Ethiopian eunuch. He was open, he was sincere in his heart when he told Philip, how can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me? How can I preach unless God gives me the strength? And how can you keep the word of God that you will hear unless you cover it in the blood of Jesus? How can you understand the Bible unless the Holy Spirit helps you? You won't do that. Unless a brother in faith helps you, you won't do that. So, do you have problems understanding the Word of God? Are you struggling with reading the Bible and not understanding? Join one of the Bible study groups in our church. We have Bible study groups where you can ask your questions openly. I mean, I am preaching now. You can't interrupt me. You can at best talk to me after the sermon. But our Bible studies or Bible studies are places where you can discuss all the questions you have. Or if you cannot attend a Bible study, have a fellowship with a brother. Have a close relationship with people to whom you expose your prayer points or your problems you are facing. So here is the passage the Ethiopian eunuch was reading. The passage is taken from Isaiah. I mean, at that time, you must know that the New Testament was not yet written as such. And the Ethiopian eunuch was reading from the Old Testament. He was reading from the book of Isaiah. And here's what's written there. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from earth. And the eunuch goes on asking, I mean, good questions. When you are reading something, you might ask yourself, who is the author and who is the addressee? And who are the protagonists in the story? And he said, okay, I know the author is the prophet. That's clear to me. But who is the protagonist here? Was that the prophet himself? Or was that another person? And that gave Philip the occasion to expose the gospel to him. And the Bible goes on by saying that then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Philip started telling him the promises of God that he himself will sacrifice himself for the salvation of man. Philip probably told him how miraculously Jesus' birth was. Philip probably also told him which type of life Jesus lived. And he might have also told him that Jesus died, he was risen from the dead, and he ascended, and that he will come back to take the church. And now, what can stand in the way of my being baptized? Or even we can extend the question by saying, what can stand in the way of somebody not being baptized, maybe in this church? What can stand in the way of somebody not being baptized? The Ethiopian eunuch asked that question because he wanted to get baptized, and because he had heard the gospel, and because he had believed, it was clear to him that there was nothing who stood in the way of him being baptized. I mean, in fact, not only nothing was staying in the way for both people, Philip, nothing was standing in the way for Philip. He had to obey God by baptizing him. And the Ethiopian eunuch had to obey God by being baptized. So the fact that Philip baptized the Ethiopian eunuch does not mean that if someone wants to be baptized, that it should be done directly. Let us get closer in this very case. I mean, if we have a look on the aspects on which the baptism of the eunuch were based, we will understand in what cases should we or in what cases should we not baptize people. The first thing is the Ethiopian eunuch must have been a believer. We read in verse 27. Verse 27 of the Acts, the Bible says this. So, he started out and on his way, I mean, he started out, that is Philip, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of the candidate, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. The Ethiopian eunuch was not a churchgoer. He was a worshiper. He came to Jerusalem to worship. I mean, sometimes we can understand it this way, that if somebody is coming to church. In one of my sermons, I made a point about coming to church and coming to God. The Ethiopian eunuch was not just going to Jerusalem to contemplate the temple, because it was an attraction at that time. He was not just going there to have his business. The Bible says he came to Jerusalem to worship. And worship is far than just only going to church. Worship is to tell God who he is. And you can't tell God who he is when you don't know him. So the first point is, the Ethiopian eunuch was worshiping God. He was already believing. He came to worship. He did not come to visit. He did not come for tourism. He went to Jerusalem to worship. That's the first point. The second point is, he asked to be baptized after Philip exposed the gospel to him. So if somebody has not heard the gospel, he cannot be baptized or should not be baptized. Children, for example, babies, children is another level. Let's say babies, they cannot hear the gospel and react to it. They should not be baptized biblically. So the Ethiopian eunuch said to Philip that, I want to be baptized because I am a worshiper of God and because I have heard the gospel. In fact, in the New International Version, the verse 37 is missing. But in some other manuscripts, I found out, in some other manuscripts, the Bible says the following. Verse 37, in this Bible, this verse is missing. And verse 37, the Bible says, and Philip says to the eunuch, if you believe with all your heart, you may. If conditional. The condition is, if you believe, I will baptize you. And the eunuch answered, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. René believes that without Jesus, he can't be saved. That's why we can baptize him. He has heard the gospel, the good news of Jesus in this church. And we know that he can be baptized. He has not only heard the gospel, but he has reacted to it in a positive way. So if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you believe that he died for your sins, if you believe that God raised him from the dead, and we can also see here is water, we can baptize you. If you believe in God, if you believe in those things that I say, you can be baptized. But this is not always respected by people. By the way, one of the prominent teachers of theology, the pastor John MacArthur, said that because the requirements of baptism are not respected, the world is full of baptized non-believers, and the church is full of non-baptized believers. This is one of the saddest things that can happen. The world is full of baptized non-believers. And if you are in the church, you believe already, you need to be baptized. The next point is, why? Why do we need to be baptized? Because one can say, by confession, we are already saved. Why do we need to be baptized? We could also have said that, René, you are saved. You don't need baptism. But baptism is far just and more pleasing someone. It's far just and more doing something which is in the tradition of the church. We need to understand that it is a commandment. Baptism is part of the Great Commission. When God sent out the disciples, he said, go out, preach the gospel, and baptize them, not of John's baptism, not only the repentance baptism, but baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So if you believe and you are in the church, you are not yet baptized, you need to be baptized. Not because it will change something in you, but you need to be baptized by obedience. Why do you then think that Jesus got baptized? Jesus was not even fitting the characteristics of people John the Baptist was calling to his baptism. John the Baptist was telling the people, come, you who are sinners, repent from sin. Without any sin, Jesus was baptized. Why? Because he told John that, let us do things to be fulfilled. He got baptized by obedience, not because he thought that he will be saved by baptism. And if you want to get baptized, it is not that you will believe that you will be saved by baptism, but it is a commandment. The first thing, and the second thing we read in Matthew 10:32, that it is a sign of identification with Christ. I mean, you can be a believer and you can hide in your room. But with baptism, you show yourself to the world. You identify yourself with Christ, not only for yourself, but for all the people. For the church to see that you are a follower of Christ. So baptism means a public identification with Christ. And if we do not identify ourselves with Christ, he will not recognize us, he said, before his Father. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you have been a help to me, Lord. I pray for the congregation who have just listened to this word, Lord. I pray that this word and the Holy Spirit will help the word to grow in them and to bear fruits, Lord. And Father, as we will be going to the time of baptism, be also with us. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. So.